Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. This week, I talked to Tiffany Haddish in a hilarious, deep, thoughtful interview where we dive into family trauma, grief, sobriety, love, and dating.
I got a big heart, and I'm very forgiving, but like, don't abuse it. It's been abused enough.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss this one.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Carrie Hilson, Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school like, okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro.
That's what it felt like.
That's what it felt like.
Listen to R&B Money on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jordan Gonsalves, and I'm a journalist. Join me on my new podcast, But We Loved, coming May 15th, where queer elders recount the amazing history they've lived through.
In the middle of Wall Street, they stopped traffic. They were doing a die-in.
And in the process, share little gems of wisdom for the next generation.
The key is to understanding yourself, learning to love and embrace yourself.
You can listen to But We Loved May 15th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's how we own it! What's up, family? It's your girl, Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of Street Politicians, the place where the streets and politics meet. What's up, Mike? How you doing today?
I am blessed and highly favored on this good old day as we continue to do this work in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yep, in Louisville, Kentucky. We move around so much.
So much.
Yep, there's lots of work to be done today.
Yes, there is, man. Way too much work to be done, man. Vote for Brianna. Kentucky, we need you to show up. Louisville, everybody, we need you to show up and vote for Brianna, man. Because the Dan man, the scammering cannot be the governor.
Scammering. Someone asked me at an event, like, how does it feel to have your biggest opposition in Kentucky coming from a Black man? I was like, you know, when I think of the word, like when I think of the term Black man, it's such a term of endearment for me when I think of or say a Black man that I can't call him a Black man. I call him a man in Black skin, but I don't know about him being a Black man, because a Black man is supposed to protect Black women. So, you know, I think it's very, very simple what we're doing and why it needs to be done. You know, what Daniel Cameron did to Breonna Taylor's family is obviously terrible. And so that in and of itself is enough, I think, for people to really show up and do the right thing. But even beyond that, it is his intention for the people of Kentucky. So if you decide that you don't really care about Breonna Taylor, which is horrific, but if that's how you feel, you should at least be able to process what his plan means for everyday people who are living in the state of Kentucky, especially if you are parents of young people, if you're an elder, if you're someone who wants to be able to report police abuse and you want someone that respects you and that respects your rights to be not just the governor, but also the people in the Civilian Complaint Review Board that will actually look at those facts and a independent decision about what should happen in those cases. You know, if you want to ensure that, yes, we keep our community safe, but that safety and justice is applied across the board, and that we're not just focused on arresting and charging drug dealers, if you will, or people who live in communities of color, but actually we are willing to go after and deal with those people who are the big predators on our communities, from big pharma to how drugs actually are making it into states and cities and into people's homes on this massive level. I mean, there is so much to think about. And when you look at his plan, you know that his plan has absolutely nothing to do with serving the people. I just feel like it's just a no. Like, it should be common sense for everybody that it's just a no, that he cannot be governor of the state. You know, so hopefully folks are seriously out here getting registered. As we've been out, we've been meeting entire families that are like, oh yeah, let me go wake up my kids because I've been waiting for somebody to come by here. I didn't know exactly what to do. You know, people have been doing the work, and now the registration deadline has passed, or at least by the time folks actually see this show or listen to this show, the deadline has passed. And so all our efforts are going to GOTV, which means get out the vote. That means you're already registered and you need to get to the polls. And the other thing is that people need to be in any state you live in, if you're listening to this, check your registration early. Go check your registration from now just to know your status, because people are purged from the rolls if they don't vote in, you know, a number of times. If they feel like you're kind of like haven't been showing up. If some information is wrong or they perceive it to be wrong, they start purging people. Some of it is voter suppression. Others are just ways of maintaining the list. So there's a lot of work that each one of us should be doing. But when we are in moments like this, this is why you have to be registered, why you have to make sure your paperwork is in order. Because when we're in moments like this, when I believe that everybody, even the folks who are like, I don't believe in voting, most of them understand the importance of showing up to stop Daniel Cameron from becoming governor. So that's the deal.
That's pretty much it, man. Daniel Cameron cannot be the governor, man. Get out the vote. GOTV, get out the vote.
I've been actually watching a debate happening. Well, I don't know if it's a debate, but a conversation that's been going on your page. And I saw Wallow post about it today, and others have begun to talk about it, you know, since last week. And I don't always understand the details, but I know when reading what you've been saying about art and talent and lyrics and all of that, it certainly struck a nerve with me, because I feel like we have just gone to a place where I don't know what's going on in the music, like with music, especially hip hop music. I'm like, okay, same songs or stuff. I can't even really like sing it because it's just like, I don't know. So there was stuff happening. I think the numbers are down or something like that.
Well, hip hop legend Juicy J had put out a video clip, and he was talking about hip hop sales being down 40% this year. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about how there hasn't been any hip hop album or record, anything that reached number one this year. And just hip hop was pretty much non-existent on the Billboard charts and on the charts of music that people love, there's no song or record that had reached number one. And, you know, so it sparked a conversation. Then, based on that, you know, it kind of stemmed from this whole debate with Joe Budden and Drake. You know, Joe Budden's, shout out to Joe Budden, he's my guy, but Joe is very critical. He can be an asshole sometimes, and he gives his opinion. He's unhinged, and he, you know, if he likes something, he's going to give the same energy that if he don't like something. He's honest about what he likes and what he doesn't like. You know, unfortunately, that's who he is. You know, fortunately, it is who he is, because at least you know where you stand with Joe. But this time he talked about Drake's album, and you know, and he talked about how he just didn't think that, you know, the main premise was that Drake was trying to capitulate to the youth. You know, he was trying to make songs that didn't fit where he should be, where he believed he should be musically as an adult. You know, as a 37-year-old man, he didn't feel that his music reflected somebody that was 37. You know, and he said, as a Drake fan, I want to hear where Drake is at 37. And it seems like you're trying to appeal to a younger demographic, and you're doing songs with people who, you know, I don't really see the correlation or how it even matches, you know, and him, to him, you know, overall, he said the album wasn't terrible. It was a good album, but it's just like, I don't really want to hear this from you, you know? And that started a conversation in which Drake responded back, and he called Joe Budden's a failed rapper, and he started breaking down different things. And that kind of struck a nerve with me, you know, because I've gone through that with Bozo Academics when we were going through our back and forth. And that was the main thing he kept trying to say, that I was a failed rapper. And I just, you know, and that made me respond to that. And I said, what makes somebody a failed rapper? Like, what is the definition? Who defines what someone else's success is? You know, and me knowing Joe for years, and knowing Joe is probably one of the dopest rappers, bar for bar, he's like actually a dope rapper, you know? And a lot of times within the music business, people get tired of the bullshit in the music business. You don't want to make the bullshit songs they want you to make. You want to make songs that feel good, and they don't want to push those songs. They don't get behind those songs. They don't put the building behind songs that actually mean something, unless you're actually the biggest artist, and then they can't really stop you, you know? And even then, you know, they try to make it seem like nobody wants to hear that type of music. You know, when we know that our fans want to hear it. So, you know, it prompted me to write something about what a failed rapper is. And then it prompted me to start paying attention to a lot of rappers that actually are dope. So I started posting young rappers that actually are lyrical, because the notion is that no, the young kids are not into lyrics, and they don't care about bars, and they don't want to do that. They just want a beat and a hook and some, you know, sing-along bullshit. And I was like, nah, I don't think that. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of these young artists that actually spit, and they dope, and they take pride in their art. So when this Juicy J article came up, it pretty much fed into the narrative I was trying to say. Like, the music that y'all think people want to hear, they don't, you know? When we was, the music that I'm telling you has last, it got us here. It's last for the last 50 years. We're in 50 years of hip hop and substance, music with substance, and artists who actually created bars and said things that people actually could relate to, that, you know, that challenged them, that made them feel like, wow, this artist is skilled, right? Why would I pay for an album from you when you doing the same shit I could do, right? You know why we go see the NBA? Because LeBron James can jump higher than me. Because I know he, Kyrie Irving got one of the best hands I've ever seen. I want to see somebody that can do something I can't, that I'm amazed by. Because you have a skill level of the talent that makes people say, wow, this level of excellence is something I want to see, something I'm intrigued by, something even if you were an athlete and you know what it takes to play at that level, you watch and you're like, wow. You know, you are able to identify with that. That's what fans want. They want to see you perform at a high level. They want to hear music that's at a high level that challenges them, that makes them like, damn, how did he even write? I remember I used to listen to Nas's albums and just turn it off and be like, yo, this, I've never heard no shit. Like, I remember I used to sit there and be like, yo, this man, he painted a picture. He was lyrical. It was just like, This shit was like perfect music. And it was like, damn, I don't think I could do that, but I want to try. Right. Mm. And it made me want to inspire to be that dope. And it made me want to be able to say, yo, I want Nas to hear this song and be like, yo, you dope. You know what I'm saying? So that's what a lot of us did it for. So when this whole fail rapping on shit, that's what, you know, it kind of triggered me in that regard. So when Juicy J said what he said, you know, it made me
follow. It made sense. It's like it solidified exactly everything. What you've been exactly talking about. And I saw that you were posting like a bunch of rappers who are like, and I would like to log my complaint, which is that not one of them was a woman.
No, no, but that's, and I understand that. And that's what I
think. And there's a lot of women because Neelam is dope.
No, but listen.
And there are others.
Listen what I'm saying. I'm not
saying. And Donique, you didn't post.
I did. What I'm sure, just give me a chance. Right
now,
Lady London came on my page. Lady London came on my page, and she was like, "This list is dope, but it's missing people." So I'm now creating my list with the whole plane ride. I couldn't get download none of the clips from the artists I like, the female artists that I like. So I'm creating a female artist list right now that I think is dope, you know. And I'm putting that out.
Yeah, but here's the thing: as we have platforms, we both understand it. You should have said that in your post. Like, women are coming soon, next.
Yeah, why should I have to do that when I could just
Because you didn't think, you should. Tell you something about what I learned from my Black preacher, best friend, pastor, Dr. Richardson. He don't put nothing out, period, unless a woman is on it, period. He just don't do it. It is his way. He does not allow all men to sit in his pulpit. Unless it's an all-male event, of course, you know, which our church has many male convocations, Black male events, where it's all men, and it's about male development and male fellowship and whatever. So not saying, and we as women don't disrespect it and try to be up in it. But in terms of just a general day, like a general church day, he ensures that there's a woman on every flyer, a woman in every invitation, a woman that's on every program, because the Black church has been so exclusive of, like, excluding and has excluded Black women so much that you have to be very intentional. And that's why I was mentioning to you that what I thought Snoop's set, of course, was incredible at Yankee Stadium for the 50th anniversary of hip hop. And then he played a video at the end of artists that we've lost. And it was all men. And there have been women, right, that have been killed or died or whatever also. And I also thought that because it wasn't just artists. He had other types of entertainment people and just people in general in that clip. And I felt like it would have been amazing if it would have ended with some of the stories of the Breonna Taylors and George Floyds and Ahmaud Arbery's, because our story is so inclusive. So I just think that the women should have been upfront. And if they weren't going to be upfront, you should have known that we were going to feel a way about it.
No,
because it's been 2 days.
No, it's been 1 day, because I put it up yesterday. I put it up yesterday, and today I planned on going back. And I've been putting all the clips, and I've been finding my favorite artists. And then I'm trying to find like at least 2 clips that I can put up with different young females that I think are just amazing rappers, like lyrically. You know, I got my tops. You know, I got Rap Lady. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of people.
Rap City, Rap City got some stuff coming. That's really,
you
gotta
tell me, like, for real. So it's like, I want hip hop to get back to that. I want hip hop to get back to love and the creativity. You know, I used to love to hear certain people's albums. Now it's like they're just throwing shit together, man.
Well, we're in the fentanyl stage, but We must move on to our next topic, sir. I know this, you could talk about
all night,
okay?
But I'm just saying, please, hip-hop, please, get back to creating. Get back to sitting down and creating a project you love, that you listen to over and over, that you go back to the studio and you fix this and you fix that, and you want it to just sound like one cohesive project that somebody's gonna listen to like it's a movie and be like, damn, this is my favorite movie ever. Like, that's what albums used to be like, man. Let's get back to that.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest.
It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's how we own it.
Speaking of hip hop, moving along, but not really. Sexy Red was a big topic just in the last few days about her statements that Donald Trump got the Black people's the stimmy, and with the stimulus money, it makes him a viable candidate, somebody that she supports for presidency.
Her love Trump. Trump gave people that money, and he got people out of jail. We love Trump.
But let me say something. There were people who was all in the comment section saying that she was, you know, ignorant and not intelligent and all of that. And actually, when I, because I only read about it, but I did not watch it. In fact, I read about it because I'm on a million text threads with a million different people, and all of my, you know, friends that are kind of they're of the community. Let me say they're of the community. You know, they were pissed off. And so I watched it. I went and watched it. And as I listened to her, she was very clear. She didn't stumble over her words. She didn't sound like a person who has not thought about it, because I listen to people all the time make these declarations that they are like with whatever candidate, whether it be Trump or Biden or whichever candidate or whichever political situation. And they, you can hear where they sound like someone told them to say it. Even listening to Kanye and some of the things that he was saying in his last bit with the media, where he was just every day talking, you could hear Candace Owens and that Proud Boys mentality. And like, you could hear that it had been implanted in him. And guess what? I'm not the only person that feels that way, because his own friends who were his friends, or people he was associating with, who were around him consistently, other Black folks, who most of them are artists, they were like, they could hear it. They were immediately saying, I know that this is, somebody is telling him this stuff. And maybe he thought it was right, but he was repeating things that I could tell. It wasn't coming directly from him. But when listening,
right wing talking points.
Yeah, it was the right wing talking points. But listening to her, she was very, very clear about what she was stating. While I don't agree with her, and not only do I not agree with her, it is factually incorrect what she's saying. It is factually incorrect. Donald Trump and his party are responsible for the stimulus package, because number one, most Republicans, I think every single one of the Republicans in Congress, voted against the stimulus package and was trying to really vote down and challenge anything that had to do with giving relief to the American citizen. So let's be clear. It was a battle. Nancy Pelosi, who I ain't the biggest fan of at all. Like, when I say not the biggest fan of, that's actually too, I'm not a Nancy Pelosi fan. But I can tell you that between Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and the CBC and the Progressive Caucus and all of them, they fought like hell to make sure that there was a stimulus package. That is a fact. It is not some mess that's just being made up. Also, the president, I don't care if the president was Daffy Duck, right? The president had no choice but to do something to deal with the fact that people had nothing, no jobs, no nothing. That is what it means when you have to declare a pandemic. Mm-hmm. When you have to declare a pandemic, the purpose of that is to unlock additional funds so that people can get relief, so that there's more, you know, food stamps or whatever the social services are that we can provide to communities. So Donald Trump, if someone was saying, oh, Joe Biden gave us a stimulus package, just like they want to talk about student loans, and we could talk about that next, but just like they want to talk about that. We already know, and it's interesting that when we say that, well, Joe Biden made sure that this $9 million of student loan debt, $9 billion of student loan debt was forgiven. They're like, oh, no. He didn't do anything. He just corrected some stuff from the past, whatever. They want to give you a very technical understanding of what he did with the stimulus package. With the loan forgiveness. They want to give you a very specific understanding. But when it comes to the stimulus money, they want to tell you that that was because Donald Trump went in his personal pocket and just started giving out money.
Let me get the black people some money.
Fighting. Him and his people were fighting so hard to ensure that the American, first of all, if it was up to Donald Trump, he was never even willing to acknowledge that a pandemic was happening. If we be clear, if you want to be clear about what actually took place, Ms. Red, and people who are like her, okay?
Yeah, Ms. Red. Ms. Red, if you want to be clear, Ms. Red.
Like her, if you want to be clear, by the time we found out that that someone had COVID, the COVID virus, and that people were getting sick, it was when the media started showing it. But there is actual factual information that proves that they knew people were getting sick and that something was happening globally even before that. And they never told us anything about it. And Donald Trump and his people, his cronies, and those who sit up in the Republican House and hail him like he's the freaking king of all kings, they knew it too, and they didn't do a damn thing to try to protect the American citizens. It was after people started dying because the hospitals were not prepared. They didn't know what they were dealing with. He was so pissed off that people weren't doing whatever other political bullshit he wanted them to do, that the man he cut off supplies so they wouldn't even send masks and shit to states across this country. Then they started some other shit where in New York, he cut off the whole global entry process and threw all of us out the damn program, where the freaking attorney general in New York State had to fight in court to get us back our right to use global entry. That might not matter to some people, but it matters to me as much as I travel.
Because you need that global.
Hell yeah, man.
But the thing is, and there's another very important point. Trump actually stalled the stimulus package.
Because, he did.
Because he made sure that they put his name on
the check.
On the check. He said, look, listen to me. Trump is a master marketer, bro. I'm going to tell you the truth. That's what he did. That's his whole career has been selling dreams. That's what he did. He's in court right now for selling dreams. He's in court right now fighting a federal civil charge because he said that his properties was valued at 100 times more than they actually was to get money and get funds from people to pay for shit. This is what Trump does. Trump oversells himself. He lies, does whatever he does. This is what he did. Like I told people with the hip hop community, Trump calls you there for one thing, and you go there, and then he takes a picture with you and said, "Thanks for coming here," and like you endorsed him for his presidency. This is the same,
or whatever,
whatever. This is a strategy. He did the same shit with so many countless others, and I'm not gonna name no names, but this is what he does, and he's constantly doing it. So, Miss Red, I know that you looked like it because he tricked you. There ain't nothing wrong with you because he tricked a lot of them, but he tricked you, Miss Red. Trump ain't give nobody nothing, and Trump definitely
I'm not gonna even say he didn't give it. He was president, and under his presidency, it happened.
Yeah,
I'm saying he wasn't responsible for it. He and his party, they tried to stop it at some point. And by the time they delayed it, like you said, to get his name on the check, people were dying. And it was much more that could have been done to prevent those deaths. Because you and I know, I would put my life on the fact that many people, too many people, did not actually die from the virus, from COVID virus. They died from our system not being prepared, and the freaking hospitals out here damn killing people. Your friend is an example. What they said, they went to see him. What's his name? The artist Fred the God. He went to God bless him and his family. Went to the hospital. Yeah, he wasn't feeling well. He was having chest issues. He wasn't feeling well. He was clearly overweight, all of that. But his wife said he was doing okay. He was making it through. They decided at some point without him needing it that he needed to be on a respirator because that was the general response, a ventilator. On the ventilator, because that was the general response at the time when they didn't have the tools or the understanding of the virus, and they put him on that ventilator, and that's when he got really sick and died.
Well, I said, anytime you put someone on a ventilator, you stop the actual organs from doing his job. So as whatever's going on, your body is not fighting it. Is your feet? You're breathing artificially. So what happens with COVID and what we learn now is that the more that your body fights it and the more that your lungs, even if it gets tight and it looks like it fights it back. It builds strength and it breaks it down. You just got to continue to fight. You got to move. You got to be active. You got to make sure your blood is pumping. The less active you are, that shit takes over your body, you know?
But I don't want to, I'm not trying.
I'm not trying to diagnose. We're not doing anything.
No. It's not even diagnosing. I don't want people to walk away from this conversation feeling like we are saying that there were not people who were really, really sick and they died because they contracted the virus. I'm saying that when you start talking about Trump sending
a lot more, there was just a lot of people that didn't have to die.
They didn't have to die. They didn't have to die. And that's connected to the incompetence of Donald Trump. So when all you care about is the fact that he got some checks to a few people a few times, and there was a little bit of money crossing hands. And meanwhile, grandmama and them dead. Meanwhile, cousin so-and-so is dead. Meanwhile, five or six people died in the same household because of his incompetence. So let's just be very, very careful, okay, about what we say. And again, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say he didn't give the money because he was the president, right? And so he did what a president is supposed to do. Now, that brings us to the conversation on the student loan forgiveness. Here's my position on that. $9 billion, they say, oh, that's not that much. It's not, and the big piece, shout out to Tony Lindsay, who he and I argue on the phone for 3 hours. He and I, Jules, just had a 3-hour conversation a couple of days ago, Julian Hoffenberg that works with us. And we often have disagreements, but the one thing I will say is that the man reads and he knows what the hell he be talking about, but we just see things from two different perspectives at times. And one of the things that he was saying, which, by the way, I don't know what's up with Instagram, but the silencing of people is so wrong. Like, I don't care what you say, as long as you don't curse me out or disrespect me or start that lying and all of that crazy shit, that trolling, I want to hear it. I might not agree, and I'm intelligent enough either to push back and or go learn and or say I don't know and ask other people to help me. I don't need comments being deleted off my page just because a respectful dialogue is happening where two people are debating or somebody is disagreeing with me. And he wrote a comment on the page the other day where he was basically challenging the whole student loan forgiveness piece, and then somehow Instagram deleted it, and I've saw him write about it on Facebook. He wrote about how, and he never said my name, and he always tries to make sure that even if we don't agree, he protects the integrity, because, you know, people start piling on to you. So he said my friend's page, you know, the comment was deleted, and I just happened to see it, and I'm like, wait a minute, I took a screenshot of what he said because it wasn't not a curse word. I mean, literally nothing, my son, nothing. And I posted it so that the dialogue could continue with people who feel how they feel about the issue. And the main piece was, he said, this money, and there were other people who made the same comment, but this money is pretty much correcting an old problem that was where people were being charged improperly, right? Or people were paying money they shouldn't be paying. And there was discrepancies in the system, all different types of discrepancies. And so the forgiveness was to clear that up. And then there is a portion that is specifically for people who are disabled. They either, you know, they can't work or whatever their situation may be, whatever the criteria is, and they can no longer pay the loan. They can't make the loan repayments. And so let me just say real quick what the difference is between that example, because I do recognize that now you want to give Joe Biden credit for something. But then when we talk about the stimulus, it's like, oh, let me tell you all the reasons why Donald Trump ain't shit, because that's how I feel. Here's the thing. With this situation with Donald Trump, we just talked about the people that had to fight him to make it happen and how folks was dying and shit as it was going on. With this situation, with the $9 billion, it was a part of Joe Biden's campaign promises, which he has not lived up to 100%. There are people who have been out there protesting about it, writing, meeting, doing everything. And he put people in place in his administration to focus on trying to get it done. So the first thing they did is they attempted to cancel most student debt, right? That was the first thing they did. You already know, I ain't even gonna say it, because they'll say, oh, there they go again. We know who shot that down. We know what happened. We know who voted against it. We know the Supreme Court that Donald Trump stacked shot it down. We know what happened. So okay. Now they have to piecemeal it. So going back to clear up something that was done wrong to people is actually a good thing to me. It's a good thing to me to go back and say, this is wrong. Let's try to correct this. Let's continue to work on it. Do I think that, oh, that makes him the best president that's ever lived and there's not more to be done? Hell no. Hell no. Of course we know. You said shit. Here's the thing. I'm sitting on student debt that I need to be cleared. I need that. I need that loan forgiveness, because if I could spend more of my monthly money going towards the mortgages that I want to have for the properties that I want to own in additional properties, then that helps me to create more generational wealth for my family and my bloodline. So it actually would be very helpful to me. So I'm not trying to sit up here and praise something that's bullshit, because I need it as well. But the point still remains is that they have said, let us go and do this because it needs to be corrected. Now,
but there's a lot of people, you know what I heard? But I've seen a lot of people on that, your page, saying that it worked for them, that they got loan forgiveness. So all of
those. Well, but those are different. Those are, so he's done. So for instance, our cousin, or my cousin, your friend, Nadine McQueen, she is one of those people that applied and got her loan forgiven. But she worked for corrections. There are people who work in hospitals. And so there are different layers. Like, some, you know, if you're a city employee, if you worked in certain parts of government, then those people got forgiveness. And it goes on and on and on. We want to see it across the board, right? So for people like us, for a person like me, who doesn't work within a government agency, I'm not in any of those categories. We want to see it across the board, because that's what he promised. And that is actually what needs to be done to try to level the playing field of wealth in this nation. However, there are people who have received student debt relief.
It is. That's what I'm saying. I know people that's specifically was like, it worked for me. Thank God. I'm so happy. So I'm like, I hear what you're saying. But at the end of the day, we understand, like, people act like they don't understand that the president has limited power. And that's why there's three branches of government, right? Because they don't want the president to be able to do whatever he wants to do all the time. And it balances. And when you have a house and you know, whatever, and Supreme Court, and you have all of these people, and they're bent on trying to stop you from doing what you want to do. And I've watched the man make several executive orders to pause the student loans, because that's within his executive. He can make those decisions. He can say, all right, we're going to pause them for this amount of time. It's the amount of time we could do it. Now he's doing this. You know, this $9 billion that he's able to come up with funds that is within, you know, his power to do, he's accomplishing. It's like, I'm no Joe Biden fan. But what I can say is that the man is definitely attempting to do shit that I haven't seen no president do for Black people in a long time. That's just my personal opinion. I don't give a fuck what nobody says. I ain't capping for nobody. I don't care about none of that. But I'm specifically watching shit happen. I'm like, okay, the man's attempting to do shit. I already know. Just like, well, we if we didn't learn anything from Obama's presidency, then you understand that they ain't trying to let you do too much shit for black. I don't give a fuck.
At all.
They just not, if you don't, if you have not seen that from Obama's presidency, if you didn't see what they literally did, how they pretty much try to rubber stamp everything that man was trying to do. If you didn't see that, you know, there's a lot of people that just not politically astute enough to understand exactly what's going on. So I don't get mad. You just want the basic shit. I want my bills to be good. I want money.
Better than basic.
You want the shit that you want. So you don't give a fuck about none of the political. You don't understand the ins and outs and the people that's over here and how you gotta be cool with this one and get this one to be on your side and all this shit and how these people want to make sure that you didn't do nothing because they got a presidential election to come up. And if it looks like you doing something, then it's harder for them to get into office. So they got to try to block you and try to say that you ain't douche. Like, you don't understand these games that's being played. Then you just sit there and you frustrated. Right. And it's just like, I literally for the last few years, I really just sat back and studied and watched this shit. And I said, it's a hell of a game.
And meanwhile, I could still say on the other side, there's a bunch of other shit that's not happening, like that he still is not doing and not doing properly. And so I can be a person who is nuanced, who understands all the different areas. And still I can say, you know what? I'm still not going to, you know, I'm not going to take my foot off the gas. We still going to push for what we know is right in this situation and so many others. So that is what it is. And, you know, there'll be people who will feel, and it's completely okay to have people who say, I don't give you no brownie points for this. You said you was going to do more. I want you to do it because you're not going to do the hoodwink trick of we did a little bit and now I tried and I couldn't not figure it out. And in fact, Tony mentioned, I don't know if this is 100% possible, but he says it is. So, you know, people should do their research. He talked about the Higher Education Act and how with the Higher Education Act, the president could cancel all student debt. Let's see. You know, let's see. I've asked a few other of my political people. There's some people who disagree, others who are saying they're looking into it. And I'm waiting to hear back on where folks stand on that. And is it possible? Because perhaps we need to geo-target, as they say, or really target our ass to be and use this act to cancel all student debt.
Why we ain't been doing that? If somebody knew that, why that ain't been?
Well, I mean, you know, we don't always listen to each other. And that's why I reposted it, because it seemed that there's also a solution. So let's see. What else are we to talk about today? Oh, I did want to give a thought of the day. You know, I did a panel this past weekend for Charlemagne the God, his mental health expo, which, you know, Charlemagne is really focused on mental health, specifically trying to get Black men to get therapists and to get more in tune with our mental well-being. And during the panel, I was on with Michelle Williams of Destiny's Child, as well as Styles P. And we were talking about, you know, just this whole idea of like getting help and also knowing our truth and knowing our story and understanding what makes us unique and why we have to have a certain type of or certain types of people who are in those rooms with us, helping us to think through our stuff. Right. And the thing that struck me that I said on the panel, and it really resonated with the room, is that everybody can't help us. Everybody can't help us heal. You sitting down with people who don't know the history of Black people, Black men, Black women, our stories as Africans who were stolen and brought to this nation, robbed of our culture, robbed of our names, if you robbed of our homeland, disconnected from one another, disconnected from family members, from tribes, from tribal culture. If you don't understand that as a therapist, it is only a limited amount of support you can actually give to Africans here in America, us as Black people trying to get an understanding of the challenges of our households and our families and our relationships with our children and all the things that we deal with and suffer with every day. Everybody can't help you. So make sure when you're looking for a therapist, it doesn't mean not to go to the one who just has a real good clinical understanding, you know, because the first person to help me with the drug treatment stuff was somebody who I know was unconnected, was disconnected, if you will, from my realities, you know, and all the things I just said about our culture. But what the person was able to do was provide me with their own story, right, about their drug addiction and the issues and the anxiety or whatever. So I'm not saying you should not also make sure you maintain some type of therapy until you can be in this quest, this constant quest to find someone who can take you to that next level. Because he was able to help me with the surface, but my current therapist knows our history and believes and understands and lives and walks and is a Black man. And so where he takes me is to a place that goes deeper into the anxiety of trying to be perfect, of the failures of society, of as a Black woman being demonized and everything that I suffered. And so everybody can't help us. That's all I want to say is everybody can't help us.
They can't. You know, I think at some point I have to get to a therapist. I don't think I'm that comfortable. I've had therapists before and I've sat with therapists and I don't think I've had the one person that made me feel that I needed to talk to them or open up or made me feel like there was some level of something that they was doing for me that I couldn't do for myself. So, you know, maybe I have to get to that because like I'm always my own therapist. I feel like whatever throughout my life I've been dealing with trauma and feel like I had to deal with it and I had to overcome it. And I found my way out of so many different traumatic situations on my own that I haven't found anyone that I'm able to talk to that makes me feel like
you haven't looked.
Yeah, maybe I haven't looked, but but I've just never even found that in life. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like even in life, I've talked to people and they hear me and they understand, but I don't really think the average person is able just to identify with the shit that I've gone through. Like when you saying this person identified and gave you their own, there's never been one person that gave me a story, with the exception of maybe Tone. Tone is probably the closest thing to a therapist that I've ever had. To somebody that gave me a story that was similar to mine that made me feel. And the thing is because we both deal with our trauma the same way. Like he's a person like me. Like he, whatever, everything he went through, he figured it out on his own. He got up. He just like, fuck that. I'm going to figure it out. I got to be strong for me. He's alone. And like, this is how he's always been. So when he's telling me something, it resonates because I, not only do I see him moving a certain way and I know that we're similar in those regards. It also is that the story that he tells me and the way that he rationalizes it and visualizes it is the same way that I did. So, you know, I guess I got to find somebody that, you know, makes me feel that comfortable to have those conversations.
I think Tone, you know, a friend is a friend, but a clinical therapist, a person who's a psychiatrist, psychologist, is a total different thing. And I'm just sharing that with you because I have friends who knew about my situation. You were one of the friends that knew about the addiction, but you could only tell me certain things. But it takes somebody who has studied in therapy, psychology, that can help you with a deeper understanding of a lot of like unraveling the things that you got to work on, right? As humans, all of us have stuff. I believe that every person and specifically every Black person in the world, and especially in this crazy ass America we live in, should have a therapist, somebody who's clinically capable. It takes time to break down those barriers, but I certainly needed it. And I don't think that I could even make it if I didn't have somebody who can hear things that I'm not even saying and can use their studied knowledge to help with some of our issues. I think, you know, that's just something. Anyway, that's how I feel. So that's my thought of the day. Everybody can't heal you. Get the therapy, but make sure you're also in a lifelong quest to find somebody who knows your cultural story, our cultural background, so that when they're meeting with you, when they're talking with you, it's not just on the surface, but it's deep down to our roots.
That's a good one.
We started talking about this incident. drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
She's breathing right now?
Yes, she's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy is a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's how we own it.
Now, we don't have a guest today. We got only a few more minutes, so it doesn't give you a lot of time for.
Yeah, I don't even need it, man. You know what I don't get it is that what I don't get is how we don't understand that oppression and war breeds death, and it breeds contempt, and it breeds hate. And if we're really invested in stopping death and stopping violence and stopping all of these things, then we have to stop oppression. We have to stop the things that cause the things that we really saying that we're against. I tell people all the time, when you take respect off the table, when you take humanizing people off the table, when you leave oppression on the table, then you actually leave violence on the table. And with that said, there's another great episode of Street Politicians, the number one podcast in the world. Shout out to our non-guests, but we had some dope dialogue today, you know, and we talked about some good things, man. Hopefully something we said resonated. If you're a hip hop artist, I hope you're listening. It's time for you. If you're a dope hip hop artist right now, the time for real music. People are looking for those type of individuals and they're looking for you. So make some good music. I'm not going to always be right. Tamika D. Mallory's not going to always be wrong. We will both always, and I mean always, be authentic.
Peace.
Listen to Street Politicians on the Black Effect Network on iHeartRadio.
And catch us every single Wednesday for the video version of Street Politicians on iWomen.tv.
That's how we own it!
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season 1 or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. This week, I talked to Tiffany Haddish in a hilarious, deep, thoughtful interview where we dive into family trauma, grief, sobriety, love, and dating.
I got a big heart, and I'm very forgiving, but, like, don't abuse it. It's been abused enough.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss this one.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Carrie Hills and Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school like, yeah. Okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro.
That's what it felt like.
That's what it felt like.
Listen to R&B Money on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jordan Gonsalves, and I'm a journalist. Join me on my new podcast, But We Loved, coming May 15th, where queer elders recount the amazing history they've lived through.
In the middle of Wall Street, they stopped traffic. They were doing a die-in.
And in the process, share little gems of wisdom for the next generation.
The key is to understanding yourself, learning to love and embrace yourself.
You can listen to But We Loved May 15th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.